Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Got our weekly visit with Buck Rising coming up. He is apparently driving to Cleveland to go to a wedding. I've been to Cleveland. We know that Blaine's been there. He scored a touchdown, ran up on a snowbank, and got showered with beer after pick-sixing Eric Zier. Well, you were shaking people's memories loose yesterday because people start talking about Cleveland quarterbacks. I don't know how many people are going to hit on Eric Zier, but he was there for a minute. He was the starter. He had him a little NFL career through a touchdown pass of the hitman.
I had to think about it for a second who it was, too, because I was like, was it Vinny Testaverde? No, it was Eric Zier because he was a young quarterback. I disguised the coverage and snuck down. And like I was playing too deep and played cover three, and I was in the curl flat area, and he threw it almost right to me. Got a young ding-dong.
How big did your eyes get when that ball was coming towards you? Because you had to know, if I catch this, I can score.
Oh, man, my eyes got real big, and I said, breathe and relax. I was like, oh my God, he threw it. Oh, just breathe and relax. Cause you know, I was an intense player and it'll drop right there in my hands. I said, I want to make it feel like I'm catching out of the jugs machine.
Oh no.
And I did not drop that one. So that was one. I still had some really good fingers and wrists and forearm at the time. So they were still healthy, young in my career.
Buck Rising joins us now. Buck, Blaine was relating his pick six off of Eric Zier in Cleveland. You are going to Cleveland right now. What all is included in your plans? Do you plan on getting a shower of beer like Blaine did in the end zone in front of the dog pound?
No, I haven't been to Cleveland since the Titans just straight beat them down in the 2019 opener. So it will not be as exciting as either Blaine's experience or the 2019 Titans. But, you know, I'm going to go get drunk at my cousin's wedding. So it's about as good as it gets.
Oh, fair enough. You're not having a bachelor party or anything like that? When is the wedding? Tomorrow?
Yeah, the wedding's tomorrow. I'm not in the wedding, Blaine. I'm just going to the wedding.
Okay. I thought you'd be, you know, pretty. Man, so all your friends now are getting married, man. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but when are you getting married? Have you given the date yet, or are you going to announce it on our show and not your show?
Blaine says, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but when are you getting married? You sound like these salespeople trying to sell me a jewelry endorsement just so I could ask Sarah to get married. Unbelievable. Both of you. Out of here.
Yeah, man. Only for you, Buck. Only for you.
Yeah, man. We're just trying to look out for you like your work uncle should.
Well, we wanted you to feel as excited as all the fans are, man. So how was the excitement since, you know, you kept us from going to watch Julio and you got to go? What was the excitement like?
I mean, I was talking about it earlier on the show, Blaine. I honestly haven't seen that kind of juice, for lack of a better term, around anything Titans related since Tom Brady was here for joint training camp practices. He is he's an extraterrestrial. He's a different species. He seems to be healthy at 32 years old and went through all of the individual drills, the 7-on-7, the 11-on-11, understanding that they're not in pads right now. I mean, he's a marvel to watch, and it was noticeable in the way that the players were reacting to him. It was noticeable in the way that everything media-wise gravitated towards him. There was energy at a voluntary June off-season workout yesterday that there should never be, no matter what the circumstances are. But it was really, really cool to see. And I think, I mean, Blaine, you can speak to this better than I can, but people overhype themselves about signings all the time, and one OTA does not mean that he's going to be an incredibly successful player for the Tennessee Titans. But damn sure he was everything he was billed to be when just getting the opportunity to watch him work. And that was palpable throughout the practice facility yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Along with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports here on 104.5 The Zone. I guess, you know, the thing that everybody's getting to know about Julio that I know, and then I think you know that you should turn down your radio because I can hear myself echoing there, Buck.
Oh, my bad, Blaine. You're on the car phone. I'll switch over.
Is that Julio, even with all his talents and everything else embodied in what his measurables are, he's a team guy. So what stood out to you in the pressers and some of the things that he was talking about in his answers that you guys all were asking him?
So I think the biggest thing to me was, you know, I mean, it's easy for anybody to say, I'm not a stats guy, I'm a wins guy, and that's all well and good. But he was open to the idea that he may not see the bulk of targets like he's accustomed to seeing in Atlanta for the better part of a decade, because it was a necessity. The offense had to go through Matt Ryan and Julio Jones for them to be able to be successful. Here in Tennessee, it's going to be much different for obvious reasons between A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and all the other people that they have to distribute the ball to. But I think the biggest thing that I kind of took away from it was, you know, the idea that everybody's talking about, you know, Julio or A.J. Brown wants to play with Julio Jones. A.J. Brown wants to play with Julio Jones. The Titans players want to play with Julio Jones. And Julio, you know, sit there and looked at us in the Zoom and said, yeah, what he doesn't know is I want to play with him too. The organization has become a bit of a destination, and not just because Julio came here, but even in the last offseason, understanding the Clowney experiment failed pretty spectacularly, he was going to a place where he thought he would be in the best position to win, not just get paid, but to win. And that is something that I would not think that I would have said about the Titans 5 years ago when I got here, that they're the place where people are coming to ring chase.
Well, someone who's going to get lost in the shuffle, and it may benefit him to a certain extent, and that's another receiver, which is Reynolds, that was signed. So he went from number two to number three. How did he seem, I guess, as far as the addition of Julio Jones and his role changing from two to three?
You know, I think he's still preparing to, you know, relish the opportunity, because, you know, when we talk about his role changing, Blaine, he played more snaps at slot than any Titans receiver on the roster last year. The Titans receiver who had the most snaps in the slot last year was not Adam Humphries because of injuries, so maybe that result would have been different had he been able to stay healthy and away from the concussions. But it was Corey Davis. So the role that Josh Reynolds was talking to us in his initial Zoom when he got signed here, that Josh Reynolds was coming in to fill, is Corey Davis's role. So he may not be wide receiver two in title, but he is a very good fit for the role that he was initially coming here to fill. I don't think his responsibilities changed that much. And I think he's aware of that. I think the coaching staff has made him aware of that. Based on our conversations with him yesterday, he seems comfortable with where it is. It's all going to benefit the entirety of the passing game in the long term. He's obviously in a different situation because he's on a low-cost, one-year deal, and he's looking for opportunity. Now, the opportunities will be less than when he initially signed here, but it's not like it's not going to be for the benefit of the team as a whole, and I think Josh Reynolds recognizes that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I completely agree. And to add to that, Buck, I just think that they're going to move all the receivers around. I think that's something Todd, you know, Downey's going to do to, you know, change and put his stamp on this offense, because that causes more problems than anything else for the defenders, not knowing where they're going to line up. Not to say they're going to do it at the beginning, but as time evolves, I think you're going to see some guys, Julio in the slot, Reynolds outside, A.J. Brown in the slot. I mean, I think they're going to move them all around once everybody's comfortable with the offense. We're on with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show.
So, Buck, I know this is something you've discussed. I heard Coach Mack on with you earlier. He talked about the offensive line and how they will benefit. But who do you think benefits the most from the addition of Julio?
I mean, if I'm being honest, it's the fan base. Like, I know you're looking for an on-the-field answer. And I get, I mean, if you're asking me on the field, I mean, I think the obvious answer is Tannehill. You go from having A.J. Brown as your primary receiver to now having two incredibly talented options where you can just largely take more chances on 50-50 balls and toss it up because you know those guys are going to win in contested coverage. But the real winner here is Titans fans. Man, I haven't seen this kind of energy, this kind of excitement about anything since I've been down here over the course of, it'll be 6 years in August and 5 years covering the team. If there was any chance that Nissan Stadium wasn't going to be full for the Arizona Cardinals season opener, signing Julio is a massive marketing win. It's a massive energy boost to the fan base. Now they have something to sit and wait and marinate with over the course of the summer when these guys go on break until they come back for training camp. And it's only going to exacerbate the excitement about Titans football. I mean, I Rep Ryan was in the studio with me yesterday, and we were talking about they're picking up new Titans radio affiliates just because this dude's on the team. That hasn't happened since Marcus Mariota with a Honolulu affiliate in Hawaii because of Marcus's background. So the winner on the field is Tannehill. The winner off the field is 100% this fan base.
So Tannehill restructured. He may be the biggest winner. He also got some money in his pocket a little earlier, but his restructure gave the Titans not only enough money to sign Julio Jones, there's a little bit of a surplus of cash. What move do the Titans need to make now? Do they need another tight end? Do they need something else? Or do you kind of hold on to that money and wait to see who becomes available maybe once cuts start to happen and camps are underway?
I mean, honestly, Mick, I don't think that, because I understand what you're talking about. They freed up about $18 million in cap space with the restructure, and they only needed 15.3 for Julio. Plus, they got money back on Kevin Johnson, like we talked about last week, and they had 3.9 that they were sitting on. Anyway, it amounts to just under $10 million, but the reality of the situation is they not all the rookies are signed yet. You still have Monty Rice and Elijah Molden who will need their contracts done. Rashad Weaver signed yesterday. You still need a pool of money for injured players that you can have during the season to replace, so you can't just straight up spend to the cap in free agency. And you need to have so you need about between $6 and $9 million for that alone, depending on how many resources you're going to allocate towards that. And then you need probably at least $3 million for a 16-man in theory until the league approves it. It's 10, but if we're to operate under the assumption that things are trending towards another 16-man practice squad, you need about $3 million for your practice squad. So I understand why people are looking at that money and saying, oh, we can still add people. But the reality of the situation is you need those resources for moves that are decidedly less sexy but necessary for the sustainability of the team throughout the course of the season.
Buck Rising joining us now, brought to you by Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Also, not just with us here at The Zone, but also on A to Z Sports Prime Time in the 615 sessions. He joins Blaine and me this time every Friday.
Yeah, Buck, I guess I really only have one question here, and that is, who is Marcus Johnson? Since I haven't been out at practice, I think he was with the team last year. He caught 3 TDs at practice. Is this true?
That is true. Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers are the two like forgotten men in the middle of all this wide receiver conversation. Uh-huh. In talking to Rep Ryan about guys who are on the bubble but do have a shot to contribute, Marcus Johnson's name came up, and then Tommy Hudson, who's a tight end who was suspended for PEDs last year, also a practice squad player. I think there's going to be legitimate competition, which is what they brought guys like Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers and Fred Brown in to do, to try and round out this wide receiving core with as diverse a skill set among these guys as humanly possible. Now, the thing that they obviously lack, that Marcus Johnson is a possession receiver at his best, and certainly he performed well in the red zone drills yesterday, but they don't have straight line speed at that point. That's not Marcus Johnson. That's not what he's going to provide. But you do have an interesting player who has been with the team, who understands the schematics of the offense, who worked with Tannehill a good deal last year during the time that he spent on the team. And of course, they keep the practice squad players separated from the team when he was on the practice squad, once he got added. But he has familiarity with the players and with the offense. and he shouldn't be discounted, even though, you know, he's not Julio Jones, and nobody's talking about him. But he's definitely going to be pushing for this fifth or, depending on how many wide receivers they choose to carry, this fourth or fifth wide receiving spot amongst a variety of different dudes with a variety of different skill sets and all shapes and sizes at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm a big Chester Rogers fan, too, as well. I like him a lot, too. Haven't seen him in a while, but I think he's a different, smaller guy that can also return punts. One more question, and one more Julio question is, and it's the thing I keep bringing up the most, as much as I'm excited like you and all the fan base and everybody else with the addition of Julio Jones and what he can bring to the table, how many wins do you think he adds to the team by being on the team? This is more a Vegas question. But that's what made me think about it. He's not a quarterback. He may make those wins a little easier, but does he help them get extra wins by being on the team?
You know, the blame, that's a really good question, because I don't necessarily think so, right? Like, I mean, we've seen this as a trend for a long time now. Like, high paid wide receivers aren't necessarily indicative of like win success. They don't translate to wins in the way that you might think that they do, and certainly commensurate with what they're paid. I think with the Julio Jones situation, if you're believing in the Titans now, after Julio Jones signed with the team, it's not because you outright believe that Julio Jones is going to be the difference maker. I think people are looking at that incorrectly. I think that's more of a belief in Ryan Tannehill and his ability to kind of distribute the ball, not get caught up in a way like a Baker Mayfield might with Odell Beckham Jr., where you see him become a more efficient player with Odell off the field because he's not so focused on getting the ball to his star player. I think you're trusting in Ryan Tannehill to be able to elevate this team further with an upgrade at the wide receiver position going from Corey Davis to Julio Jones. I don't necessarily think Julio Jones is not going to help them, he's not going to win them the Super Bowl, but he's sure as hell going to help get them through the regular season, the expanded regular season, and certainly the expanded postseason at this point, and should with above average quarterback play, because statistically it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Ryan Tannehill the last 2 years since he's been inserted into the offense. So you're buying the quarterback and his ability to utilize the wide receiver more than you're buying the wide receiver elevating the team itself.
Well said by the man with the pipes, Buck Rising.
Well, or Buck's many imitators as well. He has people imitating him on the internet now. So maybe we could even sneak one of them in one Friday as well, just to fill in for Buck if he has more weddings or anything else he needs to do. But Buck, great job today. We know you're driving to Cleveland. I hear it's beautiful this time of year. We want you to have a great time. You know, be safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
It's the only time of year that Cleveland's beautiful, and these people can impersonate me as long as they want, as long as they don't get my paycheck. It's the only thing I care about. See you, boys.